listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, April 6th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. I'm glad to be here as always.
Glad to have you, and welcome to those joining us live, as well as those that take the time to catch up with us in the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we'll begin with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are: 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And finally, 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So, tonight, we're going to talk about conflict resolution. Mostly because, you know, Dr. Vicki and I just cannot get along. We just have constantly conflict after conflict after conflict. So I thought we'd come together, kind of air some stuff out and get over it.
It's a good subject these days, Michael.
I mean, Dr. Vicki says that for some reason Star Wars is better than Star Trek, and I just can't have it.
And that's a conflict.
But we are...
Seriously, we are going to talk about conflict resolution and this evening because we all have encounters with varying degrees of conflict. Some is rather petty, and as Dr. Kelly would say, you know, that's just preference. And then there are other matters, bigger, Michael, sometimes where we are from opposing, you know, views of extreme in nature, and how do we deal with that? That's what we're going to talk about tonight.
Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, such a kind of, in some ways it's a broad topic, but in whatever situation you find yourself, be it a, you know, romantic situation where you have conflict in a relationship or in a friendship or in the family or in the workplace, they follow very similar patterns. So these kind of conflicts that arise in the resolution, you know, it will vary from case to case. But there are core principles. And you had mentioned, Dr. Kelly, you know, his principle of, you know, preference over principle. And, you know, there are other times where if it's, you know, preference, yield. If it's, you know, principle, policy, or law, you got to stand firm. And I think there's always going to be a bit of a judgment call in terms of what battles are we going to fight, you know, what conflicts are we going to engage in, which are we going to resolve, and is a situation too toxic, you know, to have resolution. So, I mean, Dr. Vicki, do you think there's a point where you get where there is just no resolution to the conflict and the only thing you can do is go your separate ways?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And look, whether that's, look, the most common thing we know of in our society, if it's an abusive relationship, you got to go, right? Unfortunately, things don't always, you know, work out so easily. because it's not easy to walk away, especially if it's in a job situation where you are, you know, completely reliant on that paycheck and you have an abusive or conflicted coworker or, you know, really mm-hmm. difficult boss. I mean, how then do you walk away? That it's very difficult, and sometimes you have to call on assistance, whether it's mm-hmm. a mediator or, you know, human relations department, Michael, you know, and try to get some mediation where something could be resolved, you know, with a third party intervention, mm-hmm. so to speak. And sometimes that doesn't work either.
It just depends on how wide the gulf is and what the conflict is. And, you know, there are some times where you shouldn't have resolution. You can always go to the most extreme of extreme examples, somebody that does bodily harm to someone or acts with, you know, malicious intent, you know, con artists and things like that. Well, you just, they need to be, you know, the situation needs to be rectified. Law needs to be involved at that point and things like that. And there is no resolution to those kind of things. And when conflict gets to that point of assault and things like that, then you have to get out of it. There are other situations that can simply just be toxic. And if, in order to have conflict resolution, both parties have to want to resolve the conflict.
Exactly.
I mean, I think we should also take a moment to talk about, you know, that human tendency to create chaos, to create conflict, to almost, you know, there is a personality set that thrives on chaos and conflict.
And the other end of the spectrum is people who love to be fixers and insist to be fixers and try to understand everything and want to be pleasers. And, you know, my point is if you understand it, then you become like it. You know, so you can't understand everything. And that's a good thing in a way, but they're, you know, looking at the actual of how to manage it. So exactly what you're saying, Michael, from that one end of the spectrum where people like that crisis and thrive on it versus mm-hmm. other people who are, you know, constant fixers. And I've even known people to cause conflict so they could fix and blame it on everybody else.
Oh, my God, yes, absolutely. And, you know, there is a psychology behind it because you want to feel useful to the social group.
Yes.
And it's just, it is a very interesting thing to exist as a human being. There's so many facets. And so, you know, let's talk about if we have two reasonable individuals, you know, what you could do for proper conflict resolution. And I think, you know, a lot of that is a matter of perspective. I think one point you get to when it comes to, you know, trying to seek a resolution to a conflict, you know, it might be a compromise. It might be trying to put yourself in someone else's shoes to see things from their viewpoint and to kind of get at the core of what is the disagreement. You know, are we just disagreeing because we have, you know, we see the same thing in two different ways, you know? And can there ever be any middle ground, I think, is the first place you have to go to.
I totally agree. Something just popped in my head. I'm going to go with this, Michael. I watched an interview that Sean Penn just did with Fox and Fox News. And
dun, dun, dun.
He was contacted by Sean Hannity. And the first words out of his mouth, apparently, was to Sean Hannity, "I don't trust you. I don't trust your news station. But we're all in a situation here that we have to move forward. So I'm going to tell you and talk to you based on what I know and what's going on in Ukraine." And I thought, wow, what a profound thing to, you know, have that moment. And apparently in the interview, as it went, they did find a middle ground. And Sean Hannity wasn't, you know, such a antagonist and oppositional mm-hmm. and went with it. So they did find in this conversation that middle ground of presenting, you know, what they wanted to talk about. And I think that's where we could all learn a lesson, it's just not always possible. Who's going to, you know, be the bigger of whomever? We live in a very polarized world right now, mm-hmm. whether it's in your local community, your state, your country, you know, and it seems to be growing more, you know, polarized in these, in conflict. And, mm-hmm. and I think the resolution is to remember that we're all just people trying to get through this.
Exactly.
I'm going to confess, a lot of people who are in this pro-radical right wing, I just don't want that in my life, you know, so I'm easy enough to eliminate that. But when it gets very close, you know, people having such radically different views as myself, I just have to go quiet and either avoid these conversations and find that common ground that we do have, which we all do. Find those other lighthearted, you know, kinds of conversations where we can be civilized.
Right.
So, and but again, not all situations allow for that. When you feel under pressure, you feel oppressed, victimized, you know, that's serious stuff.
It's kind of going around too.
You up.
It seems to be the, you know, thing du jour to feel victimized. And, you know, this is from groups that are legitimately victimized as well. But everybody wants to kind of cry foul in this regard, to say that they're being canceled, that they're being oppressed. Then they turn around and kind of do the same. You're right. We live in very polarizing times. But I think that conflict resolution, is that, you know, we ultimately, the bigger a social unit, the stronger a social unit. In unity, we have strength. In working together, there is immense strength. There are very tangible, real-world incentives to working together, to trying to get past our differences, to find common ground, to resolve our conflict with one another. And I think that it is often unfortunate that the reasonable are held hostage by the unreasonable in many situations, that, you know, you have to be the bigger person. I think that Ukraine is a perfect example of this, that, you know, because of what, in my humblest of opinions, is a very irrational, unreasonable individual and a cohort that support and, you know, enable that type of behavior. You know, you have an invasion of a very large and populous country. I would say, and I've said this before in this program, that, you know, this is a tragic thing going on, but let's not turn a blind eye to the other tragedies that have gone on, that are going on in the world as well. But it, you know, it is one of those things where, you know, the other powers have to try to be the adults in the room, because you have somebody who's not being an adult in the room, who is throwing essentially a geopolitical, you know, temper tantrum, you know, putting their nuclear arsenal on high alert. And, you know, this is an extreme example of that, again, because, you know, conflict resolution, the same characteristics, the same rhythms, the same rhymes kind of go between conflict to conflict, whether it's on a massive scale or on the micro scale.
Well, on a micro scale, same thing, of the boss threatening to fire you if, blah, blah.
Right.
Or the husband threatening to leave the wife or not give her any money if, blah, blah.
Well, and,
you
it,
know,
and it kind of it, ironically comes with, look at what you made me do.
Yeah, look what you made me do. That's a very dysfunctional kind of situation that very often people cannot find resolution to. So it's a matter of standing up for yourself and deciding what you want to do. How are you going to handle this?
I mean, if the only... Exactly. I'm sorry. The only thing that came to mind is, if the only resolution is that you have to, you know, degrade yourself, that you have to be, you know, put down, that you have to accept being abused, that's no resolution at all.
No. That's kind of, well, then there's a lot of, as Dr. Kelly would say in his explanation of cognitive dissonance, you know, what are your secondary gains for staying there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you're denying that there's an issue because of something else you're gaining. And until the desire for a better life you know, it's greater than the fear of where you are, you know, then that's just the way it's going to be. And everybody has their own journey. And yeah. Again, as you're saying, macro and microcosms, Michael, it could be even little tiny things in a family, tolerating a particular family member mm-hmm. because their family, when they have really bad behavior and they're offensive. Mm-hmm. And at what point do you say, this is not good? Like somebody finally has their own kids and is saying, that family member is infecting my children. And then you make a decision because there usually has to be something in it. For someone, when you make an investment into your life where you see the damage coming back. Or I've known families where suddenly the children are acting like the abusive parent. And, oh, and it's in everybody's face, you know, or the teacher. Or, you know, so I know that for the most part, we do want to get along. We want to find ways to get along. In this very stressful time that we're in socially and economically, I'm going to add, it's very easy to polarize yourself to one group or another and inflate that kind of anxiety, whether you're for this, against that, and anger inflames very quickly.
And it also makes you tend to look at the other side as less than. Then,
yes,
you know, it makes it less than human, you know, less than evolved, that they're more, you know, just the other. And it takes away a little bit of the humanity. Even those others that I disagree with, that I you know, I look at it, it's baffling to me. How could you hold this position? How could you think this? But I understand they're human beings still. They, for whatever reason, many of them sincerely hold things that I find to be abhorrent. But they hold them sincerely, and so you have to try to find, you can either try to, you know, reason them with them when appropriate. You know, you don't ever want to cross that boundary and try to control others, but when you're able, you can try to, you know, make a logical point, argue, and if they're open to it, they are, and if they're not, then they're not. But, you know, one thing I will say, and this is an unfortunate casualty of these polarizing times, is that there is always more that we have in common than we have that separates us.
And finding that common, what is that common thread? I think I have told this story on this program before, Michael, but one of the greatest moments I had in a success story in a workplace was I was doing a double spread at a newspaper and a fashion spread and writing in the pictures and working with the editor. And he didn't like me. Like, I don't know why. He was, you know, like pumping up like a rooster and trying to tell me what to do and being very abrasive. And it just wasn't working. And so I said, stop. And this is one of those moments where you just have to stop the show and say, we need to talk about something here. You don't like me, and I'm not particularly liking you right now, and I'm not sure what that's about. But I think if we both just calm down and do a really good job, we're both going to look good. Or we can have all this negativity here, and I don't know why it is, and I don't need to know why. But we'll just do a lousy job, and we both look bad. And he looked at me very surprisingly, took a big sigh. You're right. And we both did a great job. Those moments rarely happen, and I'm the first one to admit that, where, you know, a voice needs to speak up without there being a big backlash or something else. And I loved that moment, and he and I actually did a lot of other work together and got along very well. So I don't know if he just had a bad day.
It happens to the best of us.
Having a bad time in his life. I didn't know him very well, certainly not socially. But it just took that moment to say, whoa, and not be accusational. Mm-hmm. And I just took it down to, something's going on here. You don't like me. and that's okay, because I'm not liking the way you're behaving right now either. So let's just put that aside. And it rarely works, but I was so grateful that there was a moment where it could. other times when somebody's gone off on a tangent, just actually a couple of months ago, I was talking to this woman, and she went into this big accusational talk about people, what they have to do, and I said, stop. And what? I said, we can't have this conversation. You just need to stop. Well, I'm just sharing my story. And she didn't know, and couldn't know, that she was being bullish and judgmental and very harmful in her conversation. And I knew that there was no way to have an educational moment. It couldn't. I just had to walk away. Well, the backlash, as I heard later, she was talking down about me, and I go, whoa, that's on her. You know, so all those people will find, everybody will find somebody to listen, and that's how it inflates. I just step back, and I'm not going to feed that stuff. So that's, again, one of those moments when we're not going to find a middle ground, but I have to live with me. So I don't want to have that kind of inflated, ugly, harmful conversation. You know, I mean, you can vent all you want, but when you start, you know, poking at people, that's not my world, and I don't want to do that. And this woman does have that tendency. So again, you know,
well, it's
there
the toxic
people like that.
It's a toxic personality. It's somebody who thrives on chaos.
Yeah.
And and furthermore, probably, you know, bolsters their own self opinion by denigrating and belittling others, and that unfortunately is for, you know. Not that it's the majority of humanity, that I, at least in my opinion, it's hard to quantify, but I would think that there is a large group. It's, you know, it is common for people to exhibit that kind of behavior, and it's small.
It's a very unhappy personality.
It's petty. Exactly. You're right. You're absolutely right. And
when people are unhappy, and when people are the lack of that self-esteem or the ability to weather their ups and downs, have a good network of healthy support, the tendency is to, I think, one, want to be validated, but they don't know what they're validating, you know, because all they're used to is the negativity. And they want to be heard, but even though they have been heard, but they don't think it's heard enough, so they become louder and more aggressive in their presentation. And then somehow it just starts getting all twisted around in emotions. And because I understand that about the human condition, I have a great amount of compassion for them. But in my life, I have to set, you know, those boundaries. So Dr. Raven has just said in the chat, it's either an opportunity to find middle ground or set a barrier. Mm-hmm. So then we do have to make those decisions. And again, whether that's in your personal life, with the family, the workplace, you know, whether you work for a small company, big company,
absolutely,
or, you know, politics.
One of the core things about life is the fact that we have to safeguard our own happiness and our own hope. We have to be able to keep and nurture the hope for the future. And there are people out there, heck, I think I've been one of them, that are very negative and very cynical and very they can have a toxic vibe about them. I say that, you know, I might have been one because I have a tendency to be a bit of a cynic and to be a bit of a, you know, Debbie Downer from time to time. I have to snap my snuff out of it occasionally. I've gotten much better at it as I get older and wiser. But it is just, you know, one of those things. It is vital to your emotional health.
Well, I think let's make a distinction, Michael, between someone who is going through a phase of feeling perhaps some futility, some, you know, inner struggle of understanding what's going on in the world, feeling defeated, feeling, you know, like, where do I go? Mm-hmm. And even then, young people in particular, it's very hard life through somebody's young eyes, like all the confusion, and how do you fit in that? So I don't know, as you, in my opinion, would have been one of those downers. I would say it as in the event you were like that, because I didn't know you way back.
Right.
But I would assume that this is a young guy trying to figure out his life. and very intelligent, but is conflicted about the state of the world. And it shows, I think that shows through your intelligence. And I can't believe that you got this intelligent in one day or 1 year. Well, I mean, you've always been intelligent.
I mean, my motto is that flattery gets you everywhere. And so, you know.
I'm just saying, I have a dear friend of mine going through really rough times right now. And I'll admit this. For some moments, it's a little difficult to have conversations with her. But I know that it's, and there's part of her that's angry with life right now. So, and I don't blame her. I totally get it. But I also know it's a phase. There's a difference between people going through things that are still, like we all come around at some point when we go through them. We can find that resolution or, you know, seek answers. And, you know, it'll take maybe 6 months, a year even, or longer to go through those ebbs and tides of life, mm-hmm. which is different than somebody who is integrally wounded and difficult.
And it's almost somebody that doesn't want to heal, that has become too comfortable with their pain, with the dysfunction, with the disorder. And it's what they know, it's what they're happy. You know, happiness is a subjective term. It's what they're content with, might be a better way to put it, and what they want from their life.
And the difficult thing about where the world we live in now is there's not much consequence. So,
I mean, true know. Enough. It's, I mean, there's plenty of consequence unless you're, you know, of a certain sort, or you have a certain charm, or you have, you know, influence and things like that. The anonymity of the internet obviously makes it a, you know, Twitter is, you know, famous for having just, you know, trolls and people that just want to constantly argue and pick apart everything. So,
and occasionally, consequence to someone with a very difficult, you know, infected personality is emboldened by that challenge. Like, puts sanctions against Russia, he's now emboldened. He's mad. So, you know, I mean, there are those types too. And so I think in conflict resolution, we have to assess the situation. You know, we have to look at, you know, all the different aspects. Is this preference? Is there a principle here? And if there is a principle, how do I stand? How do I set a barrier? How can I manage through that? And do I need some help? Do I need somebody to come and mediate and even have a different kind of conversation that we can look at each other as people, not just positions?
And that know? That mediator, you know, especially if you can get as close to a neutral party as you can, is you know, almost quite essential sometimes, because sometimes conflicts are a matter of perspectives, of different, you know, worldviews, or different, seeing different things, or remembering things differently. And sometimes people can come at that honestly. You have a hopefully neutral mediator that can come and give their objective opinion to kind of help find a resolution, and usually a compromise. And that is not a dirty word. Compromise is not a bad thing. You know, too often people associate it with compromising your principles, compromising your values. That doesn't necessarily apply. You can still hold true to your values and your principles and find common ground with another person of reason. Of course, and we've already talked about it. If that's not the situation, then you need to, you know, build a barrier, remove them from your life, and protect your own, you know, happiness, protect your own hope in world, in the world, in making a better world, even in your own sphere.
Well, but, and Dr. Raven has just made a really good point. She says, with resolution, I think it's important to realize that the resolution may not be had in the moment, but perhaps down the line a bit, and just keeping an open mind. So sometimes resolution has to come in small bits.
It's going to be a work in progress. I mean, everything is, you know, one step at a time. Nothing happens overnight. And I think in the modern world where, you know, we can get so used to having everything we want immediately, sometimes patience and going through the steps is, you beat me to it, is a learned skill. something that you have to kind of reacclimate yourself to if you're, you know, in this sense of immediate gratification.
I agree. I agree. And that immediate gratification is largely our downfall, I tell you. We want it right now. We want the effects right now, the benefits right now. And, you know, for the grace of having kids or animals or, you know, working with people, you do learn that there has to be an element of patience and space where everything has its own evolution, and people and critters, everybody has their own evolution. We don't get those results right now. So, you want to go out and buy yourself a new car and you can afford it, do that now. Go ahead. Immediate. But, you know, can you pay your bills next month and your rent? That's going to be...
That's next month's problem. We have to live in the moment. Right. And the moment is the only thing that matters. Now, of course, the moment a month from now, you might be, you know, homeless. But hey, that's a different moment. You don't have to worry about that moment.
Yeah, but. For sure. You know, Michael, it's that time. We're going to turn our attention toward the drum roll, our card drawing.
We are.
Time.
We're going to pull from the inner oracle, and we're going to pull some tarot. We're going to tell a story, maybe. And hopefully pull some cards that make you think, that might connect and resonate. Always like it when we can resonate with some people. So we already have some names piling up.
We do, but before we start and get into it, I know Dr. Zach is not with us in the chat tonight, but I would like to, on behalf of him, make an announcement that he put up on Facebook this past week. And congratulations to Zach for publishing a book. He signed a contract with a publisher. It's called Savage Sonnets, Finding Freedom Through Poetry. And if I can read the back cover to you so you get a feel about what this is. What happens when cherished relationships are jeopardized because of your disability? Is love enough or even sustainable? What about when the very wheels that give you freedom to move also serve as the bars for your confinement? It's jailed if you do and jailed if you don't. The only real chance of escape is through a savage sonnet. Very powerful words from a young man who has been dealing with multiple sclerosis for the last 17 years and now has reached a stage of being a spastic quadriplegic, as he states in his bio. And he's, you know, Zach has had quite the ride, no pun intended at all, and I know he appreciates humor. So I really welcome you to check it out. He is on Amazon.com. It's Kindle Books. He said the hard copies will be out in a couple of weeks if anyone has an interest to do that. But Savage Sonnets, Finding Freedom Through Poetry, is Zechariah N. Frame, PhD. So, and that's Z-E-C-H, Zechariah. And he does call himself Zach, Z-A-C-K, as a, you know, short version. But congratulations, Dr. Zach Frame, because that's a very proud moment. It's a big accomplishment. And I know that it's going to help a lot of people, because a lot of folks can certainly relate. And I'm very happy for Zach.
Absolutely. You know, I can only second that and just, you know, say that it definitely is coming from a place of hard-earned wisdom.
Yes,
from
is.
What I know.
But, so good for Zach. So absolutely, everybody, I just wanted to share that. And then we're just now going to get into who's the first name have we got here?
Ion? Yep, we have Ion first.
All right.
All right. And we're coming out of the gate with number 37, groundedness.
Good one.
All right. Remain grounded by looking for evidence that supports or refutes claims or beliefs. Have a compelling and defensible basis for your beliefs, especially esoteric beliefs. An absence or denial of evidence does not assure a truthful conclusion. Be willing to examine beliefs, assumptions, and opinions and weigh them against facts. Suspend judgment until you have considered all of the facts or until you have more facts to uncover. Adjust opinions when new facts are found. Good one.
Boy, this might be kind of in line with what we're talking about tonight there, Michael, because I got the Five of Diamonds. And how I see this or interpret it is you're either walking away from someone and they're running after you to get you to change your mind, or it's that somebody is walking away from you and you're hoping they'll change their mind. So in this kind of a push-pull, what I feel is staying grounded, setting your barriers. There might be someone here who's trying to sway your opinion one way or another. And so staying grounded, knowing who you are, helps you have that clarity of mind where you might need to put up, you know, some of your boundaries. And as, you know, Raven uses that word, barriers. And I like that. So there might be here some resolution that, let's see, there's, it's wonderful, it's coming up, the, a resolution here for you. So I hope that makes sense.
All right. We have Dr. Raven next. And I have number 9, empowerment. Let's see. I don't know if we pulled this one in a little while. Taking your power back is literally all-powerful and absolutely priceless. It alone is the solution in principle for virtually every problematic circumstance in your life, from a bad relationship to spiritual harassment. Retaining your power means to retain your wholeness. When you are whole, you are empowered. Empower others by doing no harm and doing right. Sharing the best of yourself is encouraging and uplifting to yourself and others.
Three of Hearts in support of that. A good one for you, Raven, because I think you have a little celebration coming here with empowerment and your, you know, perseverance is paying off. So I see little celebrations coming, you know, that little victories. But in this case, where you are able to share that with others and say, wow, we did it, we did a good job, that's a hurdle that we've overcome. So I think that's really good news is coming for you this week. I do.
I like hearing about good news.
I like it too.
All right.
Jamil is next, I think.
That's what I have as well. And Jamil, I have number 38, open-mindedness. Let's see. An open mind is sensible and grounded. An open mind avoids preconceived notions, especially ones that are based on a personal agenda, a pet theory, or a preferred belief. An open mind is not gullible nor credulous. Rather, an open mind thinks critically and searches for additional possibilities. It absorbs knowledge and searches for credible solutions and conclusions. The dogs agree.
Jamil, you got the Jack of Hearts in support of open-mindedness. That's a good one also, because I interpret that as you're coming from your heart, so that no matter what kind of noise is going on around you, you're able to center into your heart and say in like your feel, your intuition, your sensory perception, and discern, you know, what information is around you at the moment. I would also feel here in the picture that comes to mind is even in your own mind, you know, how is, you know, when a hard drive reconfigures, Michael, you know, and it starts to compress and and find more space. So it's like it's starting to find the right filing systems and life starting to make a little bit more sense.
Going through that defrag.
Yeah, there you go, defragmenting. Thank you very much. So I that's a really good, you know, good message there for you too, Jamil.
Very nice, very nice. And we have Eileen next. And, all right, it is attitude and disposition, number 44, attitude and disposition. Enthusiasm and or an agreeable disposition, along with good manners, assures individual happiness that inevitably influences others. Drawing this card may indicate a time to review a change in attitude regarding someone or something in your life. This can be positive or negative. Be proactive. Ask yourself, how hard can it be? A can-do attitude makes it happen.
Well, when you get the Emperor in support of attitude and disposition, There can be so many interpretations to this, Eileen, but the one that comes to mind right off is you might be dealing with somebody in a position of authority, and their disposition might rub you the wrong way, so to speak, or you might rub them the wrong way, I'm not sure. But keeping in mind that everybody has a place, that's what I want to say to you, is attitude, disposition with the Emperor here. You are somebody of your own authority, and this other people, or in this case I want to say fellow you're dealing with, has his own authority, and you just find that happy medium in there. So understanding we all have a part to play, we all have a place, and being okay with that, it can really settle any kinds of sandpaper that we might feel, the grittiness. So I hope that makes sense to you.
All right. Dr. Mike, I have number 29, pay it forward. Kind of one of the core principles that we have here. Living with gratitude and responsibility extends generosity to others, even with random acts of kindness that offer no self-benefit except the satisfaction of heartfelt kindness. This may be a time to calm the spirit and lift the heart by giving forward, without any particular reason, reminding yourself that love is the center of all life. Is there a way you can pay it forward right now?
Magician, in support of that, Mike, what comes to mind is the cycle of life, and sometimes history repeats itself. So, you know, when you encounter those moments, Michael, in your life where you say, wow, I feel like I've been through something like this before, but I'm learning it in a whole new way. You know, there's this metamorphosis, this alchemy that starts to happen where even in ourselves, so paying it forward to ourselves has its own good result. So it's not just how we live with the outside world and paying that forward, it's how do we give to ourselves. So I hope I'm making sense with that. But something that you've been giving to yourself is now starting its own transformation. And then how you take yourself to the outside world, you start to see those benefits as well and those rewards. And I feel like in the next couple of days, you might just clearly see how that works, Mike. So I find this a really good message for you, that you're in a transformation. You're starting to see the benefits of that. That's a good one.
All right. We have Audra up next. Audra, I have wild card number 5, don't hate. A low energy signature refuses to learn more in order to better accept and understand others. Hate grows in this low frequency. The result is fear, demonstrated as the need to criticize and control others. This is how wars begin, whether it's in relationships, within families, or between countries. Understanding does not mean one has to agree. It means rising above the low frequency to do no harm, do right, to yourself and others.
Where I want to go with this, with the Ace of Clubs in support of this, Audra, what I'm relating to is sometimes you have to get really angry and yell it to the universe, like move this energy. And it's that force, that emotional burst that, whew, and it lets go. and so as much as, you know, it's keeping it in, it's, we know that you don't hate, you know, it's where you put that frustration. And I've been there too, where I've been projecting and putting it forward. And then I go out and I just have a big honking talk with the universe, say that's enough now. And it's that inside move it. And the Ace of Clubs say, oh, yeah, okay. Kind of like the spirits have been saying, yeah, yeah, we'll get to you. And you have to, like, scream at them to say, excuse me.
I've been waiting forever.
I know. But it's kind of like, except energy, you know, has its own things going on, too. So bring it right from that solar plexus way down deep and just you know, and that's a big release of emotional energy that you're not internalizing that. And it'll help your energy move into the energy that you're stepping into, because I'm so optimistic for what's coming for you next, Audra. But that bridge to get there can be so worrisome. It can be so stressful. And, you know, we're all consuming in your head, how am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to do this? And I know what that feels like. But just have a little yell at the universe. Trust me. Mm-hmm. It's coming. Turning point.
And sometimes yelling at the universe is just oh so cathartic.
It is. That's what I mean. Exactly. All right. I hope that makes sense for you, Audra. I feel really good about what's coming for you, but I know what it takes to get there. So we have to empathize with that too. So
and patience. But yeah. All right. We have our card keeper Wendy up next.
All right.
And Wendy, I'm gonna give it one last shuffle. We're gonna get something really random here. Let's see if we can pull one that we haven't pulled for anyone in a while. Ah, I think this one might be somewhat recent, but be who you are, walk your own path. Number three, let's see. You are a uniquely designed, one-of-a-kind universal being, equally entitled to all good things the same as others. Drawing this card encourages you to be who you are and to walk your own path, not comparing yourself with others. Give yourself permission to accept who and what you are. Move forward in the direction that you need to take that best fulfills yourself.
The Four of Hearts in support of BU. I love that because little miracles start to happen. Unexpected things kind of are coming your way, Wendy. And the first thing that popped in my mind, I see an invitation for you to join a circle of people or get invited to an event with a circle of people you're not familiar with. Now, you might be hesitating to go, but I say, ooh, that's where you should go. It's a little gift in there, you know, connections and how you need to evolve. So follow your path. Listen to that gut instinct, intuitive source. So that's what I say. Good thing.
Always good advice to listen to your inner sage, that inner voice, that kind of intuition. Very good. Very good.
Thanks for the feedback, Audra. She said that's just a tiny sample of the day, but it's a peek at how things have been going. When she said dropped a gallon of milk at the cash register, it broke, burnt the water, and the eggs I was boiling when I got home. She said it was one of those days.
Oh, we've had those days. I think you can't really call yourself a fully fledged human unless you've had just one of those just everything goes wrong kind of days.
Absolutely. So it's been another great whole time goes so fast kind
it does.
Of programs, Michael.
It does.
Thank you for the conversation. Conflict resolution is something we all need to think more about. Mm-hmm. And maybe we'll have some other future tidbits as they come up in the next few months. And we appreciate that people are feeling their moments these days. And, you know, the world can feel pretty big and bigger than us. But the point is we still have to find our own life and move forward and manage forward. And remember that we're all in this together. Mm-hmm. We're with you, totally with you. And thanks for coming every Wednesday faithfully. You guys are awesome.
You are. And, you know, we appreciate you coming and listening to Dr. Vicky and I work through our conflict. You know, she said that Captain Archer from Enterprise is better than Captain Picard and Captain Sisko.
Well, I like them. Sisko, he's up there at the top of my list. Okay, we can find a compromise here, Michael.
Sorry, I have to periodically mute so I can check my dogs.
They're having fun.
Well,
Michael's dogs have really bonded, and it's wonderful to see on Skype or little pictures on Facebook that they're just best buddies. And all that little stuff you hear in the background is them wrestling around and playing and loving each other. They're having a party.
It is. Their life is just one big party, one big I come home, they haven't cleaned, they haven't done the dishes. They haven't even picked up after themselves on the lawn. So I'm telling you, they're just a bunch of bums. But no,
But yeah, they eat your food and sleep, yeah.
Exactly. But they also bring me wonderful amounts of joy. So, you know, and I'm just trying to think, we've had a great conversation about conflict resolution, navigating that aspect of our lives, and knowing sometimes when it's time to walk away. But I just want to end on, you know, we are in this together, just like you said, Dr. Hunter, and we are stronger together. And if we can find a path through this tribalism, through this conflict that we're find ourselves in as a society and as a global society, we will be better for it. And it is unnecessary to live your life in constant conflict. It is simply unnecessary. So thank you everyone for joining us. Dr. Vicky, you just really well said. Any last thoughts before we wrap up tonight?
Everybody, just take good care of yourselves and each other. How's that for tonight, Michael?
Can't end it on a better note. So we're looking forward to having you join us next week. Until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.